Good morning, church. It's great to be here. It's funny because when Dave called me and we talked about what I could do as for preaching, I was like, I don't know what I was saying, but I was like, hey, I can do 3 weeks. Then after I got off the phone, I was like, what an idiot. I am not a speaker, preacher, whatever you want to call this right here. Like, this is not my my gift, I guess. So it's a little bit more, it's a little difficult for me to come up here than some people just love to be up front and love to preach God's word. And but, you know, it is a, with that said, like, it is a blessing doing what I'm doing, because it's awesome, because I spend my week just basically studying scriptures and dissecting scriptures and then figuring things out, and then and so I've been encouraged through it. And if you guys, none of you guys get encouraged with it, I guess I can be selfish and say, hey, God did it for me then. So, but I hope this next few weeks will be a time of encouragement and a time of just kind of being real, because that's what I want to do. I want to get real. I want you guys to get real with your lives, and hopefully this can kind of point you the direction, because, yeah, like, this church is, you're in the middle of a kind of a situation that's tough, being without a pastor, and yeah, it's just not a good situation, and it's not fun to be in. But with that, you can get some encouragement through that, and the body can come closer and unify, and I just pray that will happen, and then God will bring you another pastor. And but in the meantime, I just pray that the Church of Grove can come together and just be real, unify, really, yeah, people step up in the church and figure out what ways you can help out, and this will get you guys out of your comfort zone, just like this is getting out of my comfort zone right here, being up front. So, and I pray that God will challenge you guys in that way and help bring you guys up. But so yeah, I am Jared, if those who don't know me, and we are Tribe of Missionaries, and that's my comfort level, is being in Tribe. It's a place of quiet. It's a place of just, there's nothing that can distract you out there. It's all the pleasures of this world that it brings to the table. You don't have any of that in the Tribe. So basically, you're just broken down, and you got to be completely honest and real with God and have total faith in Him to get you on with the next day. And I love that. I love that feeling. I love the just basically being on a limb and saying, God, just, you know, do what you want with me and our family. And all right, you guys ready to get going on this? Excuse my, yeah, so running the race of life. You guys have probably heard this message many times, and you've, yeah, I hope it's not repetitious, but something that will be a reminder. And in this time that the church, that Grove Church is in, and I want to bring some encouragement, like I said, and let's go to scriptures and read through, sorry, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I'll give you guys a little bit of time to get there. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Today we're going to focus on 1. We'll read all 3, but we're going to focus on verse 1. And then I'm not sure next week if we'll get in 2 and 3, and I'll get something else. And that's just kind of, this is new to me. Like, I'm not normally doing sermon series and stuff, so this is all new, and I hope you guys can work with me in this and figure this out with me. But if you guys are all there, let's go to Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. If you guys don't have your Bibles, you can look ahead. And all right, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray for a second and just kind of go to God. God, thank you for this time and just the freedom that we can come together and just at the body of Christ and at the body together that we can just grow and learn. And I just pray that we can use this time to humble ourselves and to really have you work inside of our hearts and our lives. And God, I just pray that we can get rid of any extra thing that we're thinking about right now and just completely focused on your word. And in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So again, let's get real. Let's get out of this comfort zone, this playing church, whatever mentality you guys have. Let's get real. Let's be... Look at your own lives. Let's not look at your spouse's lives and like, this, you know, my spouse needs a change in this way. Let's own up to ourselves. And one day, if you're a believer, you're going to be standing before the Lord. And I've spoke on this before. And you're going to be responsible for your life here on earth. And if you're not a believer, then I challenge you to just read the Bible and let the God and the Holy Spirit work in your life. But let's get real. Discouragement. Man, discouragement is a killer, isn't it? Like, I know many of you are probably in the midst of that right now. And Pastor Tim mentioned before that there was many times that we could have thrown the towel when we were overseas and that we struggled through times. And yes, we had a lot of hardships, but you guys have a lot of hardships. Our hardships over there are different than your guys's. But we all, that's part of life that we live in. Is, and that's what I'm going to want to speak on, is running the race. And there's probably a few runners in here, and I'm not a runner. I can't stand running. I'll play any sports, but not running. That's just not my passion. But we can all envision what running is, and that's what our Christian life is running the race. There is something, there's a planetarium in New York City that ran an advertisement in the New York newspapers, inviting those who would like to make the first journey to another planet, and they would have to submit an application. After a few days, there was 18,000 plus applications. And what they did, they gave those applications to a psychologist, a group of them. And they all gathered the information, and then they came down realizing that the people that wanted to go to another planet to start a new life was because they were discouraged with this life. They wanted to leave this life here on Earth and start fresh in another one. So I found, that's what they found in this test. And maybe there's some of you guys that want to like leave this life and wish you could start a new life somewhere in another planet if this option was available. Maybe some of you want to throw in the towel. Get rid of this Christian life. I'm sick of it. There's no good that comes from it. Whatever comes to your mind of being so discouraged that basically destroys your walk with God and destroys your everyday life, then some of you want to quit. Discouragement is a killer. You know, there's people that get so discouraged that they don't ever want to step in foot in church again. And there's a stat that says after 5 years, 50% of pastors that enter in being a pastor after 5 years, they quit. And missionaries, 75%, after they come home after 3 years, 75% don't go back. So Lord willing, Mel and I this is our first 3 years, and Lord willing, we're part of the 25% that does go back. That's just the truth. That's just what we're dealing with. People are frustrated with life, frustrated with church, frustrated with Christian walk, and we're just frustrated people, aren't we? Like, that's just our human nature. But I hope I can bring out some points through these scriptures to help encourage you guys this morning. my father-in-law actually passed down a verse to my wife, who's one of her favorite verses, in 2 Timothy 1:7. You have to listen. I don't have it up on the PowerPoint. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but what, Dad? A power, love, sound mind. So God didn't give us, he didn't save our lives to be in the midst of being discouraged, did he? According to Scripture, he says that he's given us power, love, and sound mind, not the life of discouragement. You know, there's, we can win this battle of discouragement. All right, verse 1. Let me bring some truth to you guys through verse 1. Like I said, we just want to study in verse 1 today. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Okay, point one. Those of you that like to take notes, very easy. I'm a simple man, and I'm going to give you a simple sermon. Be encouraged. I only have 4 points. First one is be encouraged. The first part of the section of the verse says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. The chapter before, in chapter 11, is known as the Hall of Faith. It basically, if you guys already know, if you don't know, feel free to read chapter 11 if you can multitask through this sermon or when you get home. It just lists a bunch of characters that are basically that have lived a life and who represent faith in God. And it's, I want to encourage you guys, or this is what Scripture is saying, is surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They're pointing you directly back to that previous chapter, what they're talking about, all these men of God, women of God. And let that be an encouragement, because here, these people were an example of their lives that were filled with discouraging times, and then they were filled with discouraging times, or times that they could have chose to be discouraged, but chose to continue their faith and confidence in that God is in control. Let me read that again. They were given examples of their lives that were filled with discouraging times, or times that they could have chose to be discouraged, but chose to continue their faith and confidence in that God is in control. So we need to recognize these people that were in that chapter, and even others that we see in our lives, that we see that the people, they had this discouraging time just like you and me. These people were humans. They were not supernatural like Jesus. They were humans. They had the same passions, the same desires, the same struggles, the same issues, everything. They had the same, they were just like us. And yet you see them in the Hall of Faith, and be encouraged by that, that people have ran the race. They have finished well. All right, point two. So point one, be encouraged. Point two, be free. The second part of, or not the second part, but the next part of the verse, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us throw off everything that hinders. So as a runner, we all know in Olympics, or even runners in general, they're not wearing a lot of clothes, or they're not weighing, they try to get rid of weight, right? That's just a typical runner. Like, you don't want to run with an extra 10 pounds if you can get rid of that 10 pounds, a backpack or whatever of some sort. So Scripture says, let us throw off everything that hinders. Anything that has more of you than Jesus has to get rid of it. anything that prevents your relationship with Jesus to thrive and to run well, we need to get rid of it. It doesn't mean sin. It just means it can be good things. All right. I'm going to throw some props out here. Those of you, I know it's kind of cheesy, guys, but deal with me. I'm kind of a cheesy person. All right. Those of you that consider music, all right? So imagine I'm a runner right now, and maybe some runners wear big, bulky headphones. Some of you maybe are in school. Your focus is in your homework, and your life is all about finishing school. Or maybe some of you are just big readers, and you love to read, like myself. Oh, behold, the iPhone. What a great tool, but then also a curse in many ways. Yeah, you Facebookers, I know you. And then, who loves TV and movies? I just read a stat that an average person watches 5 hours of TV a day. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything, but that's the truth. And who loves sports? I love sports, and I'm a miserable Michigan fan right now. It's yes, all you Sparty fans, just rub it in, rub the salt in the wounds. It's I want to get rid of that coach. So hopefully that's not online, but all right. So we got some items here in life, and then we got work. Those of you who have focus on work and jobs. So these things, and you know, just imagine what you put your life interest in and what your time and energy is going into. Some of these things. Are you wanting to run with stuff in your hands? No. I know. This is stuff that you don't want to run with. Like as a runner, you want to be empty-handed. You want to be light, as light as possible. And that's the only way to run effectively. All right, moving along. Point three, be pure. And the next part, it says, and the sin that so easily entangles. And the sin that so easily entangles. Now, this is the part that you're going to have to start digging deep in your lives and start getting real. Yes, this is getting real, and you can see what you're spending your time and energy in and what your focus is, what's hindering basically of you running the race well. But now we got sin that's added to it. All right, so we got a bag of that represents any sin that you're dealing with. What are you carrying? What are you, let's say, lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of things. You're carrying this sin that you just is weighing down so much on you. Then you got lust. Then you got pride. I'm such an amazing preacher. Man, I should be making thousands of dollars doing this. And then, you know, I'm sarcastic, obviously. It's like, man, get this guy off the stage. Then you got bitterness, your history with how you grew up, what some stuff that maybe you had some horrible childhood with your parents, and maybe you got bitterness towards your coworkers, bitterness towards your boss, whatever that may be. All right, so do I look like I'm going to be a successful runner right now? No. Yeah, so just imagine all the stuff that you're just dealing with, and basically you can put a big sign saying, you're a mess. Like, look at me, I'm just a mess. I'm not running the race well. Yeah, I may be walking and getting by, but I'm not running it well. I have all this baggage, and I want to Just let me get rid of all this stuff. Yeah. I can't preach with all this stuff on. You know, and some ways of how to get rid of the sin aspect of things. You know, one of the things that Mel and I have dealt with the whole lust of the flesh, like we have put a guideline that we're never going to watch a movie that has any kind of sexual content in it. And that's just ways that you can be proactive to prevent that baggage on your life and that sin that's on your life. And there's things like anger. I know some people that don't play board games at all, that don't play any kind of sporting event because of their anger and their being competitive, and then just being that they can't play at all, so they just don't do anything just to prevent that issue arising. And then, let's see. Yeah, so the whole point of me saying all that is, you knowing your sin, you knowing the bags that you're carrying, what ways can you be proactive to get rid of them so you can run this race well and be this, to finish well? We need to seek God in these victories over these things that plague us. The first time that I realized that sin did not have control over me was when I was in Bible school and we went through Romans, and then here's a verse in Romans 6 that says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him, Jesus, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." When I realized the truth that we were not enslaved to sin, that just made me just aware that Christ in us and the Holy Spirit in us is the power and the control over that than any sin that we have. Did that mean that I'm going to stop sinning? No. And that's the thing. Some Christians in this Christian life, when they become a believer, they kind of think that life is going to be great. I'm going to stop sinning. But that's not true. Obviously, all of us know that who are believers, that you don't stop sinning. I mean, what sin is, because sin is so effective, sin is, trying to use the right words here, so it's not a, it's enjoyable. Sin is, that's why it's so tempting, because of what sin is. And that's what we need to try to prevent that. Prevent us from not being pure. Okay. All right, hang with me. You guys aren't getting tired, are you? All right. Point four, be patient. The last part of that verse says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." We need to run our race, not someone else's, not our spouse's. We need to run our race, individual race. Again, we're going to be held responsible, not someone else. We need to, every time we fall down, we need to stand back up. What's the definition of perseverance? Is perseverance meaning after a couple of times that you fall down, then you're going to quit? The definition of perseverance is you keep going, you do not stop. The definition of stop is not in your vocabulary. That's how dedicated you are to this Christian life and to this race, to the finish. It does not matter how bad things get. I picture, you know, we always hear some of you have been a believer for a long time, you hear the Christian life saying it's a marathon and not a sprint. I agree half of that. It's not a sprint. But I also agree it's not a marathon, because when you kind of picture a marathon, you got a little bit of, it's kind of flat still. After being in the tribe where we live, it's just mountains, and you're just going straight up, straight down, over water, climbing over trees, and that's how I envision the Christian life, is you got these great moments in your life that you're on top of the mountain, but then you can just go straight down and crash and in one day just really realize how maybe depressed you are, and then you're crossing the rivers that is bringing you temptations, or the rivers that are just causing struggles in your life, and then you got to cross these trees. Like, that's how I just envision, like, we're a marathon. Yes, you're kind of running straight and you're kind of going a little bit of hills and stuff, but how many of our lives are really just a little bit of bumps, you know? Isn't our lives just usually just really big mountain times and peak, and how everything's great, and then it can go down to the valleys, and then all these things can cause us to kind of question our life. Again, we have gone through quite a bit of difficulties, and I know you individual lives have gone through difficulties, and then as a church, you're going through a situation where you don't have a pastor, and it's got to be frustrating. Let's be honest. It's got to be frustrating. I don't know what, like, you've had. Yes, and I just hope that we don't, in the situation, that we don't quit and we don't throw in the towel, and that we don't want to just end this Christian life and go back to living a selfish, like, whatever you want to do with your life. And I pray that you guys as believers and you guys at the church can just rally around each other and raise up and just help out with the church and be in any way you can to just draw closer to each other. That's what I have for you this morning, and I'll close in prayer, and hopefully we can, that you'll still come back next week. And all right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day, and God, thank you for your scriptures and your word to help us understand you more, and to really see people of you walk through the difficult life and see that they have succeeded. And God, thank you for this chapter, and then chapter 11 to show us those people and that give examples. And God, I just pray for myself and these people here that they really strive to this Christian life, to persevere, to overcome these obstacles, and whether they're struggling with it now or tomorrow or the next day. And God, just pray that we would always look to you in any kind of circumstance that we're in. And God, thank you for these struggles, and thank you for these challenges to make us stronger and to become a stronger person for you. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.